There's a good ball played in for Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it! And it is! Peter Will!
Welcome to From Witten to Rotterdam, an Aston Villa podcast. I'm your host, Pascal.
Hey, and I'm James.
Unfortunately, Eddie couldn't make it this week, but we do have a fantastic guest. Gogs, all the way from Malaysia. How are you doing, buddy?
Hello, hello, welcome, and thank you for having me on. It's really, it's a pleasure and it's an honour all the way from Malaysia.
Yeah, it's you know, the pleasure is ours as well. So I think it's a great time just to kick off our global villain section. You know, we're reaching worldwide now. Tell us, how did you end up supporting Aston Villa?
Everyone asked me that when they ever, you know, in Malaysia, everybody supports the big three, right? Liverpool, Man United, and then there's the smattering of Arsenal, Chelsea's and Spurs, loads of Spurs fans actually. So yeah, this started back when we had football back in Malaysia. It was a big, it was Big League Soccer. I don't know whether you all remember that show. It was called Big League Soccer. Mm. So there was football on and Villa were champions at that time, right? So there was loads of Villa on at that time. And so I was supporting Villa and my brother was supporting Spurs because Spurs were having an FA Cup run at the same year, you know, with RCRD last time and all that. And Villa were, you know, just before they became European champions. There's loads of Villa on TV. So I was supporting Villa, Peter Witt. You know, I used to have the handband and the headband and tell everybody that was Peter Witt.
So, what are your sort of best memories of watching the Villa down the years?
The best memories, I think the initial memories of that, you know, we never got to see that European game live though. There was way before live matches were on, but I caught it on the news, and that was my most discerning memory of that goal, you know, in that rainy night.
Yeah, like you seem to, well, you two obviously have way more experience watching Aston Villa than I do. Let me ask you, if I'm ever to come over to Malaysia, where can I catch a game? You know, tell us about the supporters club over in Malaysia.
And like, yeah, so yes, I have to talk about the Villa Fan Club. It's an official Villa Fan Club. It's been around for since now another good 10 years, I think, from 2009, 11 years, yeah. So we started it up. There was this column in the newspaper where everybody could put on, and if you're fans of a team, get in touch with somebody. And again, because everybody knew me as the only Villa fan around, I was the focal point at the point because, you know, nobody could believe that I was supporting Villa at that point. So, you know, whenever there was a go-to person for Villa, most of the time they would reach out to me. So my name was put as the contact person in the newspaper at that time. And I slowly started getting calls and everything. And we started up a group. We technically only got together to watch the Midlands Derby. Okay. You know, that was the pull factor of everybody coming in. And of course, when we went into the cup final against United and all that. So those were the times we used to congregate at this place called Sid's Pub. And it used to be a Villa hangout. It used to have the Villa flag and everything. And there was a couple of Brummies down here in Malaysia. We used to come and watch it together with us. So yeah, it's grown. And an interesting fact is the person who's in charge of getting us the Premier League live on our cable, the head of sport for the cable TV, is a Villa fan.
Oh, that's cool. So how many are there in Malaysia, would you say?
Villa about fans? 30 odd.
About 30. Wow.
Yeah. Spread around the world. I just met a new one on Sunday night.
Brilliant. So is that from expats or is it, you know, locals who just decided to pick Villa up as a team or how does
it work? A mixture of expats and locals, yes.
Hmm. Oh, brilliant.
Mainly majority locals, but yeah, a mixture.
So you all get together, do you all get together in the same place to watch these games?
Yes. The last time we got together was, the cup final against Man City.
Okay.
Oh, and brilliant. My son is, of course, de facto Liverpool fan. He wants to support Liverpool, but he's not allowed to, so... He gets dragged along to all Villa games, but he does stay up and watch the Villa games with me. He's a big Villa fan now. Yeah, he likes the way the spine of the team right now.
That's it. We've got a great spine. It's a good time to be a Villa fan again. I think that's why we're decided to get this podcast together. No, it's amazing just to find fans all around the world like yourself. So have you any plans? I don't suppose you've ever been to Villa Park, have you? Or?
No, every time I'm visiting the UK is during the summer when it's off season, right? So yeah, and I've been asked a few times because the owner of QPR is a good friend of mine. You know, he's a Malaysian.
Oh, wow.
So he's invited me every time the QPR have been, but I've never really gotten around to it. But one day.
Brilliant. I hope you make
it. I'll be there with my son one day.
Yeah.
To the hallowed grounds.
It seems that you're well connected. Is it Tony Fernandez? Is that his name?
Yeah, Tony and Ruben, the other guy, the other owner.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So they're good. I mean, Ruben's a very good friend of mine. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's invited a couple of times. Even when we were in the championship, in the Champo, he's been, you know, he said, come over and watch. You guys are not going to be around for long. You guys are going to move on. But he's a good supporter. He's been telling me to put a punt on Villa winning the league.
Wow, I won't go that far.
I said, you never know.
No, you never know.
No, you do never know, yeah. That's interesting. Tell us a little bit more about like your kind of your radio station. I know you, off air you were saying you're speaking to like some Leeds fans about the results. So what kind of stuff do you do for the radio?
I've been on radio for now 11 years. It's a business station. It's a business-based station, but we have a football show every Friday and everywhere Monday. So Fridays, we preview the games for the weekend. And then on Mondays, we talk about the weekend's games. So we have a collection of pundits, we call ourselves, and there's usually three in the studio with one host. And we have a mixture of like, I'm a Villa fan, there's a Forest fan, there's two Leeds fans, there's a couple of United fans, of course, a Liverpool fan. So yeah, I was on the show with a Leeds fan and a Liverpool fan on Monday. And so I've been doing the show for basically 10 over years. We have a new players, people come in. So yeah, we talk about the preview of the games. We talk about the European games sometimes, but it's generally, it's not an interactive show, but people tweet in to ask and all that. But it's a live show.
Okay.
It used to be a live show. And now with the COVID, we do a Zoom recording. Yeah, I can share the podcast later on with you.
Perfect. Yeah, we'll put that in the tweet as well. So guys, definitely check that out. So I think it's I'd say a good time to move on, but you know, we have to talk about that dreaded Friday night at Villa Park, Aston Villa 0, Leeds United 3. Our worst enemy, Patrick Bamford, with a hat trick in the second half. We'll make it an open forum. So what were your direct thoughts after the game? For both of you.
James can go first.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a dropped us down back to earth, hasn't it? Back to being a normal Villa fan. We had a dreamland, 4 wins out of 4, and you know, I think we sort of expected the wins. Well, expected / hopes for wins against Sheffield United and Fulham, Leicester and Liverpool. I didn't really expect us to get a win. I didn't expect us to get one win out of those two, but to get 2 out of 2 was amazing. Then we fought with Leeds. I knew the biggie hard opposition. I expect them to be really fit and, you know, persistent for the whole game, and that's what they proved to be. They worked their socks off, and you can see why they've done so well. Now I want to be firstly realistic. I mean, 12 points out of 15, absolutely amazing achievement. You know, that's dream world stuff for us. I mean, from where we've come from last season to where we are now, it's brilliant. It's a brilliant start to the season. On the other hand, though, you know, we want to be beating the Premier League clubs at home, really. You know, ideally, they're the sort of teams we want to be seeing off quite comfortably. So it's disappointing. But that all said, that they're a better side than, you know, just a normal Premier League side. They've got a way of playing that is going to, well, has threatened every team they've played so far. They've got pace throughout the team, which we didn't have last season. They've got real pace, real fitness. And they seem to be a danger every time they went forward, especially down that left-hand side. I'm sure we'll get into it in more detail as we go along. But, you know, the amount of chances that Harrison seemed to create, Costa, Bamford picking up those areas of space, we just couldn't handle them. They were too hot to handle, really, you know, unfortunately for us. And we just couldn't impose ourselves on the game like we have on the other games. The other games, we seem to be able to, you know, dominate ourselves. And this one, we didn't really ever get a foothold. We had chances here and there, but I always felt Leeds were the better team. What were your thoughts, Sir Gokes?
Yeah, I think I'm similar to that. I was watching it. I mean, I woke up. It was at 2:15 in the morning here, or something like that. And so I woke up with my son and we watched it. And so before that, I was interviewed by an online portal. You know, these guys were going on about Villa, because obviously Villa were at the top half, and we could have gone on top if you had won. So I was interviewed by a team, our online portal, and they were asking me my thoughts, and I said it was going to be a high-scoring draw. Because I know the way Leeds play, and I was expecting a bit more from us. Like, what do you say, James? And the left, I mean, the first half, Matty Cash had his hands full completely. Sure, I mean, to be fair, he stood up to this challenge, but he had his hands full. And I was saying that, you know, watch out for Bradford. And my son was saying Bradford is just absolute crap. And I was like, watch out for him. To be fair, he comes out with a hat trick. But you were right. We didn't impose ourselves in the game. But to be fair, Grealish, if he had passed, you know, I think it would have been a different game.
I agree.
I think we would have shut. We were in it until that first goal, and then we started just fell all apart.
Yeah.
The first goal was so crucial to that game, as you said. It was if he scores the goal, it goes down as possibly goal of the season. But in that situation, all the criticism that pundits have of him holding on to the ball too long really came to the fore. And like you're right, if he passes to Watkins, it's an easy tap, and it's 1-0. And who knows what would have happened. First of all, credit to Leeds. I hate Leeds so much. I hate to say it. It pains me to give them any credit, but you know, hats off to them. They were the better team to a man for 90 minutes. Fitness levels, I've never seen anything like it before. Even like the 95th minute, the game was done, and I think they had a counter-attack, and there were 6 or 7 players sprinting towards the box, or something like that. Harrison caused Cash problems all game. Although I don't really think Cash had much support. He was on a 2-in-1 situation, which is what Leeds are so good at. All their play comes down the wings. Cash and Target were often left 2v1, and ultimately it's a battle you know, you're not really going to come out from. Sorry, James, one thing to go back from. I've got the results from last season, and it took us 13 games to get 4 wins last season.
Wow.
Yeah, against Newcastle. In match week 13, 25th of November is when we got our 4th win of the season.
So, okay.
In terms of the big picture, you know, it's been a fantastic start.
It is. It's dreamland for us. That's why we're waiting to come back down to earth. You know, I've been a Villa fan long enough to know this is dreamland stuff. Everybody's like going on, and I was like waiting for the penny to drop. So, yeah, I'd rather do it now than, you know, but you're right. Our main point is to stay in the league. Regard everything else as a bonus right now. I mean, again, I said that the spine of the team is there. It's how we come back from this defeat. Yes, it's a chastening defeat against, of course, Leeds, who we would think as equals right now. But, you know, we Spurs were our equals back then too, at one point. So look at where Spurs are now. So, you know, we have to start building. We have a great team. I mean, we have a great, like I said, again and again, the spine of the team is there. We've bought well in the summer, not just gone on a splash of cash. Now we need Dino to come up and, you know, it's how we come back from this team. One defeat is not going to define our season. We've got Southampton coming up. And that is how we stand up and come up. And and also, I've said in my interviews before, home in a way doesn't make a difference this season. You know, a loss is just is the same as an away loss. Yeah. Because there's no fans. And the no fans thing works against you, works for you also. When your team is down, you don't have the fans on your back, which means that the players can play. This was the difference last season, you know, when the Villa were down, you know. But now you have no fans there. You're just playing with the Grealish. And back to the Grealish thing, I think Grealish's game is that he runs with the ball. So we cannot ask him to pass. That's his game. He runs with the ball. Yes, the obvious thing wants to pass. But his game, we can't deny it, is to run with the ball.
Yeah, of course, he's a ball carrier. But at moments like that in the game, it was a tight game. And if you count the first half as well, I still thought Leeds were the better team and created more chances.
They were.
It was a crucial moment in the match. I'm not blaming it. I'm not saying it's Grealish's fault we lost the game for a minute. He was still, along with Matty Cash, probably our best 2 performers of the night. But in terms of crucial moments in the game, which can completely adjust the momentum, you'd have to say that was one of them. And obviously, if the goal goes in, you know, it's going to be replayed for years as one of the best goals that Villa have ever scored or whatever. But, you know.
And let's not forget the first half goal shot as well, which was off the line.
Yep, very true.
Brilliant defending from Eiling. Absolutely superb defending, but I expect Grealish to finish that. I really do. I know it's on his left foot, but I still think, you know, you've got enough of the goal there to finish that. So that was a bit of a shame. With the second half chance, he's done so much right. You know, he's glided past so many players. It reminded me of the Giggs goal. I know it went down. Obviously, it went across the box. But I was just expecting him to lash it, to be honest. Just lash it. Even if it goes, I'd rather him perhaps just knock it over the bar, just to lash it to that top corner. That's why I thought he was going to hit it. But to finish it like he did, it was really, really damp squid, weren't it? But what I was thinking, guys, was, so I was quite disappointed when we were 1-0 down as to our reaction to that. We didn't seem to change our play in any way. You know, if anything, Leeds got better and better. So do you think Dino could have done something different, you know, to change the course of the game, perhaps tactically?
I think this is a complaint I've had for a long time with Dean Smith. I love Dean Smith, but my only complaint is, and I'm sure you'll probably agree with me, a distinct lack of a plan B when things aren't really going our way. I'd love to get your thoughts, Gogues, on that as well.
I completely agree that there's no plan B, but also maybe because he doesn't trust the depth that he has. I don't know. It's been a few seasons now. There was one of his things in the first season that we didn't have a plan B, and now, you know, we've really shot out of the game. There's no plan B. So now with this team, does he have a plan B? It comes up against. I expected a bit more from Dino, but yes, but we collapsed too fast for him to even to make those decisions. If you ask me, I mean, yeah. Mings. You know, I expected also a bit more from Mings on that one.
I personally thought he could have looked at bringing Nakamba on at some point. Just to break up the play, just to stop the relentlessness of attacks that was going on. And also, argument for getting Davis on the pitch as well, just to give them something else to think about up top, you know, occupy one of their defenders. They just seem to get through us so easy every time. It's unfortunately, Barkley wasn't his best, you know, it wasn't, after two or three excellent performances, that wasn't his best performance. He wasn't really in the game. So I think we could have shored our midfield up a little bit more and gone a little bit more, direct, if you like. But never mind, you know. Hopefully we'll learn from that. I think they'll be one of the better teams to play this season, if I'm being honest. I mean, we look at the quality of their goals. Absolutely superb finishes. I mean, the third one reminded me of Prime Bergkamp. The second one reminded me of Ronaldo, you know. And he was there where it matters for the first one as well. So, you know. As much as we don't like him, we've got to give him credit. You know, he's pulled up with the goods there.
I didn't know he had a left foot, to be honest with you. And then he pinged that second goal from like 25 yards, like top corner.
No backlift at all.
Like, fair play. You know, there's nothing you can really do about that. No. Thoughts on best Villa performer and who you think could have done better, and would you make any changes for the Southampton game?
I think Matty Cash was a standout. If you ask me on that game,
I agree.
He really worked his socks off, and you know, even without no cover, he was battling till the 90th minute. But I don't think we should make changes again. Like I said, Leeds were well up for that win, and you know, you can see their levels of fitness. There was a tweet that asked them to. There's a tweet that's asking their FA to check whether they were on steroids or anything like that.
I was just going to say, he's just training ridiculously hard, doesn't he? I think he does try double sessions every day. You know, they are the fittest team in the league. So, thankfully, they're out of the way. We can move on. I wouldn't make any changes myself either. I think Southampton's a different kettle of fish completely. I'm sure we'll get on to talking about Southampton soon. But, they're a different sort of side. We're at home. Like you said, it doesn't really matter if we're at home or away anyway. I think we're at home, aren't we? You know, it's a different sort of game, and I expect us to some more similar to the way Leicester played. I'm expecting from Southampton, so I'd stick to plan A at the moment.
Yeah, I agree. I think Matty Cash was our best player as well. Would I make any changes? Probably not. Southampton will probably play like a 4-4-2 as well. We're going to need bodies in midfield for sure. I think he'll probably drop Barkley back in the number 8 position instead of the number 10 position. The likes of Ward-Prowse. You know, Danny Ings is one of my favourite players in the league, actually. In fact, we'll transition straight on to thoughts for the Southampton game. The danger men. Oh, as I've just said, I think Danny Ings is by far the standout talisman, one of the most underrated strikers in the league for me. Who else do you see as a threat for Southampton?
With Southampton, it's just Ings. It's, you know, everything goes through him. You know, the whole game, Hasatal has just shaped them up, and you know, for them to get a result against Everton the other day is actually going to be on a high. So yeah, they're going to be quite dangerous also up front.
No, I was going to say Che Adams has started the season really well as well, hasn't he? We knew that potential from his Birmingham days. you know, he started the season particularly well. I think he's got two or three goals. He looks a good foil for Ings. But they're quite rare, really. They play two up top. You know, there's not many teams in the league that do that consistently. And Ings, I think you can compare him to Vardy. He's that sort of, you know, guy who sits on the edge of defenders, ready to get in behind at every opportunity. But he's a real top player in the Premier League. You know, he's unlucky he didn't make the grade at Liverpool. I know Liverpool were quite reluctant to let him go at the time, but, looking at the quotes from Klopp. But since he's left there, you know, he's done remarkably well. And also credit to Southampton as well, how they've turned it around since, you know, was it about this time last year they lost 9-0 at home to Leicester?
Yep.
You know, since then they've been absolutely brilliant. You know, they're well away from relegation last season. They're probably a team that we should be looking to, you know, strive towards this season ourselves. You know, just move on to that next tier. So I'm expecting a real difficult challenge. As you've said, Pascal, there's Ward-Prowse as well. He's a great technical player, isn't he? He seems to be the sort of player who can get the ball on a sixpence to someone else. They've got the ex-Chelsea lad in midfield, Romero. He breaks play up really well. And they're pretty strong at the back as well. So they're a real good test for us, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think it's going to be another very difficult game. And they've got a fantastic away record. I know we've said at the beginning that home and away doesn't really count as much, but their away record on paper, I think I saw something like after Man City and Liverpool, they've got like the third most points away from home since like the start of last season or something incredible like that, which is mental. How do you think we can get them? I think obviously you should go through Grealish. I like that Kyle Walker-Peters that they're signing from Spurs, but he's very attacking and I think that will leave gaps on the left side where hopefully Grealish can exploit that channel and hopefully we can cause some damage and score some goals.
No, I think what we've been doing for the past few games is perfectly fine. It's just that, you know, Leeds were the better team against them, but we weren't completely out of it. We were giving, you know, we were there. Same against Liverpool. We can soak it up. We can hit them on the counter. So we can just do what we're doing, but we still need a plan B. This is my, like we were talking about it. There has to be a plan B that if something's not working, what is your default? You know, who are you going to come off the bench? You know, if Douglas Luiz is having a bad game, we need to have somebody who's there. Dino needs to trust them to, you know, step up. Right now, I don't see that.
No, I completely agree with you, Gokes. I mean, you know, we have got a squad of players and we should utilise it. You know, there's some decent subs on our bench now. So, you know, I think we should be using them. In terms of the game itself, yeah, I think, as you say, Grealish, Barkley, I'm expecting us to have more of the ball, you know. I expect it to be similar to the Leicester game and possibly the Sheffield United game as well. Be interested to see what tactics Southampton employ, whether they... you know, see us as a team they can beat, or if they're happy to soak us up and hit us on the counter. I expect it should be an ever entertaining game, really. I think every game at the moment we look at Villa, we think, you know, there's going to be goals in it. You know, we're looking at attacking threat every time. We look at the players that we've got on the pitch going forward. You know, we've got goals galore from, you know, various areas now, all across midfield. Players are still on form. You know, it's only been one game where we haven't performed this season, so hopefully the confidence hasn't dropped too much and we can pick it straight back up. I think Grealish will certainly be a danger man. He's going to be a danger man pretty much 90% of the season, I'd imagine. Hopefully Barkley can get back to form as well. We've got Trezeguet, of course, who started the season really well. And McGinn, he looks back to his best. You know, I'd like to see Watkins get back to the form he was against Liverpool. I appreciate he's not going to be able to do that every game, but you've got a team that's playing a high line, which I think Southampton will do from time to time. You've got to be, you know, doing what Ings does, get in behind the defence, you know, take the opportunities as they come to stretch them and, you know, to get in the box.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, the cat's just going crazy in the house. So,
so where are you? Where's everyone?
Sorry, Ed. We forgot to properly introduce. I'm actually based in Dubai and James is in the UK. Back from Birmingham, so I've been here for about 6.5 years, and I try to go to games every time I'm back as well. I managed to get back for the League Cup final, was the last game I went to see Villa live as well. So,
brilliant. Well, I'll try to get some of the Villa boys on the podcast. You know, you can have some of the chat with some of the expat boys too, and see what their view is like watching Villa in a foreign land and all that stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. I'll share it with our WhatsApp group, and I'll just let me know when you need a new guest, when you need to speak to somebody new or whenever. You just let me know, give me a hoot, and I will sort it out.
We really appreciate that. You're a man with many connections. That's good to know. All right, so predictions for the game. How do you think it's going to go, and the scoreline?
Yeah, well, I'll start first because I remember first thing we need to get Eddie's prediction in. Eddie's gone for 2-2. He's obviously our resident New Yorker who's normally on the podcast and puts it all together for us. So, yeah, he's gone for 2-2. I suspect it's going to be similar to that, really. I'd say I'm not going to change my mind and say I think there's going to be goals in the game. But I'm going to try and be more optimistic and go for a 2-1 Villa win. Let's hope we can bounce back and get the momentum going back again, because we started the season so well. It'd be great to get another win on the board.
Yeah, I think I'm echoing James' thoughts here and Eddie's thoughts. You know, I could say a high-scoring draw also. It's be a due a draw coming up. So, you know, I'm thinking about 2-2.
Yeah, a Desmond is a safe result, I think, for this game as well. I think I'm really put on the spot now. I haven't really actually thought about this game, and I'm still trying to get the Leeds game out of my mind. But I think, because when I bet us to win, we lose. Do you know what I mean? When I bet us to lose, we win. So I have to really think. Now I'm going to say a 2-2 as well. I think Danny Ings is going to cause havoc for us, and I think Grealish will be our key man and come up with the goods. And a point, in my opinion, is not a bad result. I would take it. That would still be 13 points from a possible 18, which I think would be a fantastic start for us.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I've I don't know how you guys are spending your time during obviously what's going on at the moment, but I've been going back listening to some podcasts from last season, from different Villa ones, and it just reminded me of how unsettled our team was last season. We never had, we went through four goalkeepers, we went through various centre-back partnerships, and I just think now, how refreshing is it that we've got an 11 that we pretty much settled on, we're quite happy with. Whilst I appreciate we have got some good substitutes, at least now we've got a consistency amongst the team. So we don't want to melt down too much, this Leeds result was disappointing, but we've started the season so well, and it's so great to see us, performing well in the Premier League and having a settled lineup again, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
It's another point that I like to bring up is the teams like Leeds and Leicester and Liverpool we played had European games before that, and games were coming thick and fast for them. Mm-hmm. And then we played a game with like Leeds who had the same amount of rest that we had, and then we could see. So you see, and you have to understand the games are coming thick and fast, for especially teams that are involved in Europe. So the teams, it shows that it's a equalizer of sorts.
Yeah, you're right. You look at Liverpool, they've been pretty much decimated with injuries, especially at the back, and it does have an effect on the league campaign. And we benefited from, I know Leicester didn't have Jamie Vardy, but Liverpool also didn't have Sadio Mane and Thiago. So we need to benefit from those moments, and we did that in those games. I was a bit disappointed, considering Leeds didn't have Calvin Phillips, who is their
orchestrator, the best player on the pitch sometimes.
And we didn't really cause them much problems in the central midfield, which that was my one disappointment. But, we move on. Shit happens, basically. So, yeah, I think we can wrap up there. Gogues, thank you very much. Is there anything?
Cheers. Thanks for having me. Like I said, always reach out whenever you need on this side of the world. I can put you in touch with Singaporeans if you want also, because we have a group chat that encompasses Singapore, Indonesia, and Malaysia. So
fantastic. Yeah, I mean, we'll talk on offline or whatever, but we can arrange that. And is there anything you'd like to plug or is anything like that before we sign off?
No, man. It's just plugging that. That's not a plug. I'm just great to be happy to be on. Thanks for having me.
No, we really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come on this podcast. So I think the only thing remaining is thank you very much. Keep listening and up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Cheers.